Good morning. It's 10:14 a.m. Monday, October the 5th, 2020. Yeah, 10:14. I almost skipped the walk today. And I thought, no, you know what? I was in my therapy appointment, and realized, you know what? If the walk is a gift I give myself, not taking the walk is a gift I'm keeping from myself. My ADHD hyperfocus is driving me crazy. Which, no, that's not true. That's just part of what I have to deal with every day. But it's, with the context of everything else that's happening in the world, it's difficult to shift between and among the various things that I want to do, but don't seem to find the time or focus to actually address. So, I won't say she guilted me into it, because she doesn't do that, but after talking to my therapist, I had my boots on, I had the phone. Phone is almost out of charge. So at some point, I put it on airplane mode so it won't try to keep connecting to various places. That might give me enough juice to actually record for 20 minutes, I don't know. Screen is off, it's airplane mode. It's in my pocket. All I have to do is keep walking. So the last few days, yeah, I've been really scattered. I haven't been able to focus on doing the things I want to be doing. Including walking. There's too many questions. I've talked about this before. It's like, if it's a question, then the answer can be no. And so if the question is, am I going to walk today? The answer can be no. And there's been a lot of no. Somebody walk without a mask, and there's a car coming. Slowly let the car by. Break it up. Good morning. So it's fall. It's October weather. It's quite lovely. My nose is run. Because it is still smoky. I put clear, but just looking around at the various horizon points, you can tell it's still smoky. Overhead is not, doesn't seem to be any clouds in the sky, but it's hazy. So I'm pretty sure walking in smoke isn't really as healthy for me as walking in clear air might be, but very few things are, I guess. Run, little squirrel. Hiding in the shadows. Oh. So, third quarter has begun. I need to catch up with the last two books that need paperbacks. I need to get back into the Ishmael book. I took a little side trip, I don't know if I mentioned before, I took a little side trip into the Center for International Maritime Security short story contest. And completely just like bombed. I couldn't come up with a story in less than 5,000 words because I'm so used to working in a novel form. I had to explain everything, and you can't explain anything in a short story. It has to all be there. But I came up with some interesting ideas, some engaging ideas, at least interesting and engaging to me. And one of them is going back to the Japanese four-act story structure and applying it to a short story. They're pretty commonly used in four-panel comics. There, it is. It's commonly used in manga. A lot of the literature, Japan, Korea, China, the Japanese word, which I usually mangle, Kitshōtenkatsu. 5 syllables, 4x. I don't think it's kit, I think it's ki. Kitshōtenkatsu. There, that's better. I've been practicing saying the word just because I knew I would be talking about it. Kitshōtenkatsu. Yes, yes, that's it. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if I do this in sort of a mechanical way, and I approach short stories as Kitshōtenkatsu structure, each of the four acts has 500 words, that's 2,000 words, sorry. That's 500 words, did I say 2,000? 500 words times 4 is 2,000. Yes, okay. I'm sorry, my eyes are gummy. There's so much smoke in the air that my eyes are almost all the time gummy. Right. Over and above the floaties, but the particles collect on my eyes. And so I wind up with a lot of crusty stuff around my eyes and a lot of thick coating on my actual cornea. And it's very distracting, so I frequently lose track of what I'm seeing because I'm being distracted by the things that I'm seeing. So I was thinking that would be an interesting short story. If I have a structure to work in, maybe I can come up with some short stories. It's not that I necessarily want to write short stories, but people keep asking for short stories. I want a short story about this or a short story about that. And it's like, damn. If I can get the concept to gel, I can usually do a short story in a single sitting. But the problem is I have to spend weeks thinking about it and pondering it and wondering what it should be. And so the short story I was working for, and since it's an annual contest, if I can get the short story to work, I'll submit it next year. to get the story. But I went down the rabbit hole of what exactly is considered maritime security. And we think of maritime security as, you know, the navies protecting the seaways. But it's a much broader perspective than that. It's a much deeper field. The navies are important, sure. Get ready. Stay with me. Monk post. I think I talked about this before, where when you've got bottlenecks like the Straits of Hormuz, you can send the Navy to patrol the Straits of Hormuz. And the Western Annex is no, you know, the only bottlenecks are near stations. They're near orbitals. So anyway, I came up with a tagline, thinking back to my own ancient days in service, in the service. I mean, never was in service. But one of the Navy ads, I don't know what they are now, but one of the log lines for the Navy back in the day was, "Join the Navy, see the world." And so if I take that into the Western Annex, then it's, "Join the Navy, see the universe." And the irony applies in both places. That in the Navy, particularly on board a ship, you see an awful lot of the world. But the awful lot of the world looks pretty much the same. One wave looks pretty much like the other. Some are bigger, some are smaller, some are more threatening, some are pretty much non-existent. You don't get to see much in terms of coastline, scenic or otherwise. You get to see a lot of water. A whole lot of water. That was true even in the Coast Guard. I have been at sea, far enough at sea that I had was out of the sight of land before I joined the Guard. It was not unusual for us to go far enough offshore that you couldn't see land on fishing boats. But we knew the land was over there. And with a compass, all we had to do was go in that direction, and sure enough, there was land. That's the thing about the Atlantic. If you go west out in the Atlantic, pretty soon you'll lose sight of land. But it doesn't really matter how far off north or south you go. If you turn around and start going east, you're going to come back to land. I mean, there's land there. There's going to be. It's not that far away. No need to panic. Or panic if you want to, but there's no need. Likewise, I'm thinking about, because people have been asking about core world navies. It's like, okay, what about the core world navy? Join the Navy, see the universe. And from the perspective of a rating, sitting on the helm of a Coral Navy's packet. Yeah, they get to see the universe. It looks pretty much the same. Wherever you look. There's a lot of black. There's a lot of stars. Most of the stars don't seem to shift very much in position, no matter where you are, how far you go. Most of them are still too far away for to have any kind of recognized parallax. When you think about what it looks like in the sky, looking out from someplace like, oh, Mel's place. If you look toward the galactic center, you'll see pretty much the same thing that you see if you look from Marguerite. If you go to the observation deck on Marguerite and look toward the galactic center, you'll see just about the same thing. Almost exactly the same thing. There's something I learned in EVE Online in a very graphical and a very immediate way. It didn't really matter where you look. Once you stopped looking at what was right in front of you, the background looked pretty much the same. So if I looked up from anywhere, I pretty much saw the same configurations. There was a star, Carolyn's star. And wherever you were, you could always see Carolyn's star. It might be the nebulosity around it might be a little less obvious in some places than others, but you could always see Carolyn's star. Which got me thinking about the Core World Navies. And this Otterly. I haven't decided Otterly yet. But Otterly. In the beginning of the story is feeling the pinch of the dissonance between join the Navy, see the universe, and the reality that the universe that Otterly saw from the helm of the ship is pretty much the same universe they saw from the observation deck at Sigma Draconis IV. And so the universe looked pretty much the same, no matter where Otterly happened to be looking from. So they didn't really need to join the Navy to see the universe, at least in the way the universe was being displayed to them, by being in the Navy. Which sets up an interesting question, an interesting twist. It's like, so after doing Otterly's time, after doing their time in the service, would they get out? Because clearly being in the service was not exactly what it was hyped up to be. It was pretty much not. Blasting pirates and exotic ports, and I was mostly just moving people around, moving goods around. Taking a team from here and moving them to there. Running supplies to some place that needed them. Which, when you think about it, is pretty much Pretty much an interesting story, if I can figure out the handle on it. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.